From the celebration of same-sex marriage at the Grammy Awards to Holocaust Memorial Day, we've got things covered right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I am absolutely delighted to be with you today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thank you so much for being part of the broadcast. I got in from Spain last night, missing one piece of luggage. Got home, close to 10 o'clock last night and spent some time with my wonderful bride and then did a little writing. In fact, you can read my latest article, The Grammys and the Myth of Marriage Equality. We'll be talking with you about that today. Among other subjects, you can read that by going to AskDrBrown.org and clicking on latest articles. And got a whole lot of things I want to interact with you about, get your feedback on. I want to put out some questions for you. So we'll be getting to that in a little while. But as always, phone lines are open, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Had a really excellent time in Spain with my friend and colleague, Dr. James White. I told him that my appreciation for him rises with each debate that we do, and we really are eager to debate others standing together. We've only been able to do that one time. We'd be delighted to do it more often. So we were in Spain, in Malaga, Spain. Never been there before, but just a beautiful, beautiful seaside resort area. I guess that's its main thing. People come there to rest and relax. So we got to go there and minister, which was wonderful. But we recorded a number of shows for Revelation TV. It's the largest Christian TV network in England, but it airs from Spain for a few reasons. So we broadcast a number of shows that we recorded. Some were debates, and that's why we were there Friday night. We did a debate on the extent of the atonement. For whom did Jesus die? Did he die only for the elect? Did he die for the whole world? And then we did a debate on Saturday on divine healing. Can we expect healing today? Are the gifts of healing still for today? We already have the first debate posted on my YouTube site. So if you go to AskDrBrown.org, just click on the YouTube icon. It'll take you to the channel, and we should have the predestination debate up a little bit later. We'd love to hear your comments on those. As I said before the debate, and as I say after the debate, both of them, our purpose, both Dr. White and myself, our purpose is to see Jesus glorified and truth advanced, especially when we're debating each other as brothers in the Lord. So I think you'll find those really constructive. And today is a day in many parts of the world where the Holocaust is specially remembered. I want to talk to you about that as well. There are parts of the world, think of this, while we are remembering the horrors of the Holocaust and learning lessons from it to this day, there are other parts of the world that deny that it ever happened or deny that it happened in the proportions to which it did. Let's remember that Mahmoud Abbas, the head of the Palestinian Authority, and a man loved by God for whom Jesus died, that we want to see saved and come into the kingdom, that Mahmoud Abbas wrote his doctoral dissertation on a denial of the Holocaust. That's correct. That is the main, quote, peace partner with Israel in the Middle East right now. He wrote his doctoral dissertation saying that, yes, Jews were killed, but the numbers involved and the horrors involved have been greatly exaggerated and are somewhat mythological. Exactly right. What an irony. What an irony. That's the world we live in today. What I want to do when we come back is trace this back to wrong theology. Trace the Holocaust back to wrong theology. That wrong theology exists in the church in America today. And then we'll talk about celebration of same-sex marriage at the Grammys.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome back to The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Hey, Joey, I want to play a couple of clips in a moment. So, tell you what, just we'll get started at the start. I'll let you know where we're going shortly. People have been tweeting me and posting on Facebook. I was watching TV with my kids. I was watching Good Luck Charlie on the Disney Channel. And to my shock, there was a same-sex couple. Why would you be shocked? Why would you be shocked? Have we not talked about these things for some time now? A queer thing happened to America, which represents the culmination of roughly 6 years of intensive study and prayer and interaction on the subject. That came out in 2011. And we talked about many of those things in that book in 2011, and we're talking about some of them in years before and many times since. Why should anyone be surprised? I don't know that I've ever watched the Grammys, but I have followed reports about things over the years. And lo and behold, people are shocked now to see that the Grammys celebrated 33 wedding ceremonies, young, old, all different ages and backgrounds, couples including two men, two women, same-sex couples. As Macklemore and Madonna sang Same Love, why would anyone be surprised, especially on the Grammys? Why? Now, I've got a bunch of things to say about that, and we will come back to that in a little while. 866-34-TRUTH. But changing subjects completely for a moment and making no connection between the two subjects whatsoever for my critics listening. Oh, and I've got some classic comments from the critics already to my article on same sex, the myth of marriage equality, same sex, so-called marriage. I got to share some of these with you. You'll be smiling out loud as I did as I saw some of others were sent to me. But switching subjects totally, Holocaust Remembrance Day. I want to say plainly that there are people who hold to replacement theology or fulfillment theology, as they would refer to it, that either way, the results are that there are no national promises that remain for the Jewish people as a nation. Yes, individual Jews can be saved, and some even believe there'll be great salvation at the end of the age. But for example, the modern state of Israel cannot be prophetic fulfillment because there are not prophetic promises to the Jewish people today. That would be plainly believed. There are people who hold to this today who are not anti-Semites. Let me say it again. There are people who hold to this who are not anti-Semites. They simply read Scripture a certain way, understand promises a certain way, see the centrality of Jesus a certain way, because of which they do not see ongoing promises to Israel and the Jewish people. They are not anti-Semites. I know some of them personally, and they cannot be called anti-Semites. At the same time, I want to say plainly, as I've said many times before, and as I document in Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, without question, the faulty theology of replacement theology, the idea that the church replaced Israel in God's economy, the idea that there were no longer national promises that remained for the Jewish people, this opened wide the door of anti-Semitism in church history, without question. And without this theology in Europe, a Holocaust could not have happened. Without this theology that opened the door to Jew hatred, these events could not have unfolded. It is undeniable historically. It's just like this. Let's say you follow the lifestyles of 1,000 people from all different backgrounds. And one-third of the group eats in a healthy way and exercises in a healthy way for 30 straight years. The other group eats totally unhealthy but tries to exercise on and off over the 30 years. And then the last group never exercises and eats terribly over 30 years, if they live 30 years. And then you compare the health outcomes. So you do it with 10,000 people or 100,000 people. Without question, you will see that the first group was overall healthier long-term than the second group and much more than the third group. And you can explain why. Or you can see that certain notions were not entertained in certain circles that didn't believe certain things, but where other things were believed, then in those circles, different beliefs developed and different mindsets developed. When it comes to replacement theology, once the view was taught that God was finished with the Jewish people as a nation, once it was taught that the national promises no longer remained, once it was taught that Israel was in a certain way under unique divine judgment, so whatever happened to the Jewish people, so be it, that is part of divine rejection. Once it was taught that the promises of comfort and encouragement and future restoration that were given to Israel actually apply to the church, that opened the floodgates of demonic distortions of the Jewish people, demonizing of the Jewish people, and all types of anti-Semitic hatred eventuating in violent acts against the Jewish people, and culminating thus far, God only knows what the future holds, but culminating thus far in the horrors of the Holocaust. Without Catholic and Protestant anti-Semitism in Germany and Austria and other European countries, there could not have been the possibility of a Holocaust. Hey, look, let's look at it this way. If whites in centuries past looked at blacks as intellectual and moral and spiritual peers and did not believe in some horrific lies that blacks were somehow inferior to whites, it would have been almost impossible to have the slave trade. There had to be some type of belief in the inferiority of the black race, especially from Africa, some type of view of the superiority of the white race for these horrors to have happened, and even a perversion of the idea of the superiority of white religion and therefore whatever the whites did was somehow justified. There had to be some wrong thinking to open the door to this. In order to open the door to such a demonic flood of activity where Jews were just rounded up and slaughtered, and the populace as a whole was either complicit or silent, and to have this level of hatred against the Jews, there had to be a source. And the source, aside from Satan himself, was the faulty theology that existed largely in Protestant and Catholic churches. And it's interesting to see that in many cases where you have the Corrie ten Booms and people like that, the reason that they gave themselves in sacrificial love for Israel and the Jewish people was because they did not hold to these lies. They did not hold to this faulty theology. I see it unfolding again today. I see it with the people who hold replacement theology, even if they are not anti-Semites. They much more quickly condemn Israel. They much more quickly become hostile to Israel. And then they operate with unequal weights and measures. They operate in such a way that Israel is now the guilty party across the board, and Israel gets demonized in completely unfair, unjust, and exaggerated ways. By the way, we are going to switch topics in the next segment and talk about Grammy Awards, same-sex marriage issues. And if you are a gay activist, if you are a straight ally, if you are someone who believes that marriage should be redefined to the union of any two people, please call and tell me why it should be limited to two. Please, I have not yet gotten a single coherent answer ever in all of my interactions with gay activists and their allies as to the redefinition of marriage. If you're going to say that it is any two people, then why limit it to two? 866-34-TRUTH. So that's where we're going. I'll get to your calls on the other side of the break. But let me mention this. A friend and colleague, Sandy Toplinski, has written an incredible book, Why Still Care About Israel? My friend Scott Volk will be joining me on our first ever Israel tour in May, has been reading the book and just blown away by the content. It's written with compassion. It's written with a depth of spiritual love for Yeshua, for Jesus. It's written with a heart of care for Palestinians and Jews alike. but it will open your eyes. I also have an audio series about 10 hours of teaching on why stand with Israel, together with postage worth about $40. But they're both, the book and the audio series, are yours for your gift of any size this week. We really want to get this out to you. So call 1-800-278-9978 to take advantage of that. We don't have that on our website. It's only by phone. 1-800-278-9978. Be as generous as you're able to be. But for your gift of any size, it's really important we get these resources out to you. The book, Why I Still Care About Israel, and my audio teaching on standing with Israel. So give us a call, 1-800-278-9978. Stand with us. We want to send these materials out to you. We're changing our focus now. We come back. Redefining marriage? Same-sex couples on the Disney Channel?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
No law is going to change us. We have to change us. Whatever God you believe in, we come from the same one. Strip away the fear. Underneath it's all the same love. About time that we raised up.
We are gathered here to celebrate love and harmony in every key, in every color.
Isn't it the same love if it's three people in love? Isn't it the same love with various other combinations? If you're going to redefine marriage, why stop with redefining it as the union of any two people? 866-34-TRUTH. For those just wanting this stuff to go away, for those saying, why do you draw attention to it? It is simply because we, as followers of Jesus, are called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We are called to be, in the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, we are called to be the moral conscience of society. We are called to shine light in dark places. We are called to show God's ways are better, and then to point everyone to new life in Jesus and to model that new life. If we, by God's grace, had done a better job of modeling marriage, family, moral ethics, what the gospel is really about, a lot of these negative doors would not be swinging open. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to go to the phones in one moment. This was one of the cuter comments that was pointed out to me in response to my article on the Grammy Awards and the myth of marriage equality. The reason I call it the myth of marriage equality, when gay activists say we have marriage equality in this state and that state, no, what they mean is they've redefined it for two men or two women. The polygamists and the polyamorists and the incestuous couples and others would say we still don't have marriage equality. And the critics are saying, oh, that's just the slippery slope argument. That's just hysteria. That's just stupid. Oh, yeah, it's stupid and it's hysteria as these things unfold in front of our eyes. So someone wrote this. Mr. Brown does not deal in facts. He deals in ignorance of history and hysterical exaggerations in the hopes of raising money and fame. Oh, yeah, you make a lot of money. You make a whole lot of money when you stand up for these things. Oh, yeah. Oh, the churches rally around you with big bucks. Oh, yeah, you get so many invitations to speak at the mega churches and at the churches with a lot of money when you stand for these issues. We can't turn down the invitations quickly enough. A classic example of New York sarcasm. You know, it reminds me of the extreme critics. That's what, man, it's always the same thing. I'm trying to raise money and make and get famous. That's why I went on Benny Hinn to make a lot of money. And, you know, I was talking with Dr. James White when we were in Spain together. Of course, he strongly differs with my decision to go on the Benny Hinn show and felt it was a real mistake to do it. And we had a great lunch talking about these things. But, of course, we both laughed at the notion that I went on to make money. Or the book. Listen, I could have preached at a local church of 100 people down the block from me, okay, and received an offering for our ministry and made more money than I'll get, if I get any, book royalties for being on his show. So here's what this fellow said. Brown deals in ignorance of history and hysterical exaggerations in the hopes of raising money and fame. He needs to be put to the curb. How do you put one to the curb? What exactly does that mean? He needs to be put to the curb. The sooner the better, so we can move on with the real issues facing marriage and families. Ah, put him over to the curb. I know it's kicked to the curb, but maybe he didn't want to say kicked because that would expose what he was thinking. All right, to the phones. Let's go to Torn in Baltimore, Maryland. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
This is Tom.
Yeah, you know what? I saw Tom, and then I looked again, and I saw, no, that's an RN. That's an interesting name. So yeah. I'm glad it is Tom. Hang on. I just got to discuss this. Joey, Dwight, Matt, look at that. Can you see how Tom became Torn to me for a minute? But I'm glad that Tom is not Torn. So welcome, Tom.
And by welcome. The grace of God, all healed up.
Amen. Thank God. Yes, sir. Sorry about that.
No. I don't want to take much of your time. I've been listening to broadcasts on and off. I mean, I knew of you before from the Brownsville Revival, and then I guess over the last 4, 5, 6 months, caught some of your broadcast and enjoy listening to it. It's not surprising on the subjects you brought up today. It's all kind of fulfillment of prophecy. I remember some years ago, Dave Wilkerson actually wrote an article. He said one of the signs of the end times will be the boldness of the quote-unquote homosexual community. And we haven't seen the last of it. In fact, we may just see the beginning of it. So it is a downward slope. And the slope, I think there's a geometric progression to the incline, if you know what I mean.
Here's the thing. And I raise this in my article. Again, folks, you can read my article by going to AskDrBrown.org and clicking on latest article. I mentioned, for example, the marriage equality blog spot that says this. They are advocating for the right of consenting adults to share and enjoy love, sex, residence, and marriage without limits on the gender, number, or relation of participants. Full marriage equality is a basic right. Once you say that marriage is different than the union of one man and one woman with certain long-term goals and purposes as the norm for those marriages, then why not every other and any other arrangement? And for those who deny that there is a slippery slope, we're sliding down. You know, it's almost like in the midst of a hurricane, as trees are being torn up and windows of houses are being smashed, someone says, "You still saying there's going to be a bad storm? That's just hysteria." And Matt just grabbed David Wilkerson quote for me. Thanks, Matt. "There will be an acceptance of homosexuality." This is a prophecy from David Wilkerson. "And the church will even say that it is a God-given gift." When he said this, friends, this was not on the horizon. Tom, thank you for calling. That's from his 1973 book, The Vision. Let's go to Mario in Suffolk County on Long Island. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Doing very well, thanks.
All right. Yeah, the reason why I'm calling, you brought up that one issue with the awards and how they promoted that aspect. And I got to be honest with you, in the full scheme of things, I'm amazed that people who are Christian even watch TV anymore. You know, when you look at what's on TV, and I did away with it 20 years ago, and I haven't missed a beat in anything, you know, except that I've filled my heart and my mind with the good things of life instead of the stuff that's actually shown on TV. And I actually think that Christians should really examine their thought process when they turn on that TV, and when you turn on that TV and what you're supporting, whether you're buying some sort of product that's advertised on that TV, or whether you have purchased some sort of TV service from a cable service that endorses all that stuff. And honestly, I think Christians have to really, bite the bullet and say, "Hey, you know what? This really is a negative influence in my life."
Yeah. Tell you what, I'm jumping in here. I'm jumping in. We're out of time, but let us seriously, prayerfully consider what Mario just had to say. Just ask God, what is his best plan? Thanks for the call, sir.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Bob, honey, let's face it. Whether it's a mom and a dad, or two moms or two dads, nobody likes your bug stories.
Oh, Disney goes gay. People writing to me surprised, saying they were watching Good Luck Charlie with their kids, and next thing, same-sex couple. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'm back from Spain, had a great night's sleep last night, got in, I traveled, I guess, from leaving the hotel, which would have been about 11 o'clock at night, Eastern Standard Time, 5 a.m. Spain time, then flew from Malaga, Spain to, where was it, to Paris, Charles de Gaulle, and after arriving in Paris, then flew from Paris to Chicago, and then from Chicago to Charlotte, just kind of a little bit of a convoluted route home with some layovers. So from the time I left to the time I got home was about 23 hours, but got a great night's sleep, fresh and alive and well and delighted to be with you. Oh, this is cool. In my article, The Grammys and the Myth of Marriage Equality, I cite the Marriage Equality blog spot, which says there will not be full marriage equality unless anyone can marry. So any numbers of people, any groups, whatever it's two or four or six, or I imagine one person could marry themselves based on this. And relationships, so it could be two brothers, brother and sister, father, daughter, mother, son, grandparents and grandkids, any definition. And as I say in my article, once you redefine it, you make it all but meaningless. If an Italian, ever think of this for a minute, 866-34-TRUTH. But anyway, they now have a page welcoming my readers. So thanks for doing it. Hey, call on the show. Matt, shoot him a note. Tell him to call into the show. But this is cool. Welcome, Michael Brown readers. I got to save that page. That's nice to see. So I'm glad they did that. But here's the reality. If you say we're an Italian restaurant, all right? Yeah, La Trattoria, Italian restaurant, and you go in there, and you've got a couple of Italian items, you've got a couple of Chinese items, and you've got a couple of Korean items, and you name it, cuisine from around the world. You say, I'm here for an Italian restaurant. You got a couple of items. Or the idea that you can have every item from every recipe all around the world, right? And that there's actually going to be a restaurant that can sustain that. Well, it's no longer an Italian restaurant. Just call it restaurant. All right, you can't call it an Italian restaurant since marriage has had a certain definition. As I've said for years, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, that's not math. 2 + 2 = 4, that's not spelling. Marriage has had a certain definition and a certain purpose, and there is a unique complementarity and union between a man and a woman that does not exist between two men or two women or any other combination. It's not possible for numerous reasons. And just from a biological natural law viewpoint, it's clear that God made men for women and women for men. The woman is called the Isha because she's taken out of the Ish. She's called the woman because she comes out of the man. So once you redefine it, the Marriage Equality blog spot is right. Anything goes, any definition that you want to have. Quote, a basic human right. Of course, I differ with them on that. They've now redefined marriage. I will credit them with being consistent and helping to remind everyone else what it really looks like once you tamper with the foundations. Back with your calls. We're talking about the Grammys as well from last night.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hi, Susan.
Hi. Amy, this is Taylor's other mom, Cheryl.
Oh, hi. This is my husband, Bob.
Hey, nice to meet you. Come on in. Come on in.
Taylor has two moms.
Nothing gets past you, Bob.
No, no. That wasn't fantasy. That was Disney. Disney Channel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Disney Channel promoting two moms or two dads. Now, let me make this plain. It doesn't mean that you don't have two men or two women who love each other and care for each other. Yeah, that was, I know, it messed with your minds because you heard Leave It to Beaver theme song in the background. But that highlights the changes that have come to our society. So from Leave It to Beaver to Good Luck, Charlie, and the celebration of two moms or two dads. It's not to say that there aren't two moms or two dads who love each other and care for each other. It's not to say they don't care for their kids. It is to say it is a radical redefinition of marriage that opens the floodgates to further redefinition of marriage and is not what God intended and is not in the best interest of society and is not in the best interest of the kids long-term, ultimately. 866-34-TRUTH. And please, please come up with a better argument than you're so bigoted. You're just hysterical. Come up with a better argument than that. Someone posted this in response to my article on charisma. AskDrBrown.org. Click on latest articles. This is just more slippery slope hysteria as we continue to cascade down the slippery slope, no less. Michael Brown keeps insisting if you allow gay couples to marry in the same way that straight couples marry, by extension, you have to allow polygamy, bestiality, necrophilia, incest, and God only knows what else. We hear it over and over again like a broken record, yet most clear-thinking people know what a red herring it is. By the way, when have I ever mentioned necrophilia, just out of curiosity? Or when have I said that if you open the door to one, you will guaranteed have bestiality? Just curious. And why do you have a problem, sir, with polygamy? Why is it wrong? Or two consenting brothers or two consenting sisters? This fellow says, using his logic, I might just easily say if you allow a man to marry one woman, you just have to let him marry as many women as he wants. It's stupid and tiresome. Does he not understand that he refuted his whole point? That if you say marriage is one man and one woman, then that precludes multiple marriages? Did he actually write that without understanding? He completely refuted himself, and yet he refers to me as engaging in hysteria? Yikes. Yikes. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, I'm going to the phones in one moment, but an important announcement. I met with some of our ministry team leaders last week before flying out to Spain. And, you know, we're all stretched to the limit. We're thriving, we're blessed, but we are stretched to the limit. And we are stretched financially, we are stretched staff-wise. It's becoming increasingly impossible to minister to and care for all those that we want to help and reach with our current staffing. And on top of that, we have major open doors set before us, wonderful major open doors that we just don't have the resources to walk through. And we said we're doing what we know how to honor the Lord. We're walking ethically before him. The more you examine our finances and what we do with them, the more impressed you would become. And I invite you, if you were praying about sowing money into a ministry, but you want to find out who they are, we invite you to find out who we are in detail. But we said, you know, the only thing we can really do is pray and fast and ask God for breakthroughs. And I want to invite you to join with us. I know many of you love our ministry work. Many of you pray for me, for our team regularly, pray for Nancy and me. So we want to invite you to do this starting next Monday, so February 3rd, for 3 weeks, 21 days. We will be having extra prayer times among us as staff and between us having different days where we're fasting, some fasting longer, some skipping meals, some skipping certain things along the way. But we're inviting you to go to God on our behalf for that he would open the floodgates of heaven, that he would raise up more supporters, that he'd raise up wealthy supporters, that he'd raise up an army of smaller supporters, that he would enable us to do things without funds in different settings. 3 weeks of prayer and fasting, asking God for supernatural breakthrough. So I'll share more about that with you. But if you do pray for us regularly, then maybe you can pray more. Maybe the Lord will lay it on your heart to fast a day during that time, or to skip a meal, or to seek God a certain unique way. But this is not a ploy for us to try to get you to give. It is direct request to ask you to go to our Father with us, for Him to supply what is needed, so we can walk through the doors He has opened before us, and frankly, sustain the doors that He has opened before us, that we can be on these stations and do everything we are doing. Yes, together we are making a difference. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Erskine in East Meadow, New York. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing? I saw the that episode on the Grammys with Malcolm Moore and that atrocity that transpired during his performance, and I just think this is a clarion call for the people of God really, really to just get on their knees and turn their plates over and seek God that this country would get a godly inspired revival, because we've totally gone to the left as a country.
Yeah, of course, you're 100% right. My concern is that many of us should have heard the wake-up call years ago. So, sir, for you, as an individual believer, because people always want to know, what can I do? What does that mean to you as an individual? If the wake-up call is sounded, if you feel a certain urgency, obviously it doesn't mean going around hating other people or bashing other people. But what does it mean to you personally? What stirs in your own heart in terms of how you need to respond?
I feel that I need to like my wife has said afterwards, that we need to really get on our knees and pray and seek God on how do we get this out here to these people to help them realize that, you know what, this is not what He wants, regardless of what may be popular in your culture. This is not the will of God for your life. And it doesn't have to end with you standing before God in sin. You can change.
Got it. Yeah, and that's certainly a right response and something we need to do. Thank you, dear brother, for the call. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. We can all pray for awakening in our own hearts. We can pray for God's heart of love and compassion for those who identify as LGBT. We can get our own houses in order in terms of marriage and family. We can get involved, be it voting, be it being active in our schools. There's so many different things, personal choices, where we just stay away from certain things out of conviction. And we're on for Wednesday. Yes, Matt? Listen in on Wednesday. Everybody tune in Wednesday. It's going to be a very, very important broadcast, especially for those who are struggling with same-sex attraction or have family members who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. Be sure to tune in Wednesday. 866-34-TRUTH. Chris in Boston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Michael Brown, thank you for taking my call. And this is one of the first shows in a long time that I actually agree with you on what you're saying. I'm a Christian myself, but you know, lately you've been on John McCross on the whole sensational thing, but today episode is really interesting. I know you don't agree with a lot with John MacArthur, but I do. And
let me say this. I agree with John MacArthur a ton more than I disagree with him. I agree with him on massive, massive issues, and he is a great gift to the body and a clear voice on so many issues that I shout amen to. Where we differ, there are big differences, and they're important differences, but they are far smaller than what unites us. So back to you.
Yeah, amen. A couple of years ago, he preached a message on has God abandoned America? And I had to agree with him on that, because seeing the way the culture and society has become, there's clear evidence that has happened. Not that God purposely did it, but I think that we, as America, have abandoned Him first. And coming from a state which was the first state which allowed this same-sex marriage, this is surprising me. This is going on. This is surprising that it's going to get worse. And I thank you for taking a stand. I saw the episode a couple of days ago where you went on CNN about the whole Doug Dynasty interview, and I thought you did a great job of defending the Christian faith and the same in the in the marriage, and I totally agree with you, and I also agree with you on Israel. I do not believe that Israel is the church nowadays, the new Israel. I still hold firmly to that Israel has a plan, that God has a plan with Israel. I know that a lot of the Calvinists and the Puritans don't agree that they believe that the church has a plan with Israel. I do not agree with that. I agree that, you know, Israel...
Yeah.
Had to play with God. I always
yeah, just got to. I'm sorry, just got to jump in because I got a break. Chris, thanks for the call. By the way, yes, it is true that many Reformed theologians over the years have said that the church has replaced Israel. But some of the greatest Puritan thinkers like John Owen, and then giants like Charles Spurgeon, they agreed with you and me on this in terms of God's purposes for Israel. Hey, thank you, sir, for the call and the kind words.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the broadcast today, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's play clip number 7 from the Grammys last night. If you missed it, I'm glad you missed it, but you need to know what happened as Same Love was sung by Macklemore, and he was joined by Madonna, and Same Love became kind of an anthem for redefining marriage last year, same-sex so-called marriage. The reason I repeatedly say so-called is because it is the radical redefinition of marriage to the point of not being marriage anymore. During the song, there were ceremonies for 33 couples, including same-sex couples. So this was on the airwaves being celebrated. I thought Piers Morgan told me that no one is celebrating homosexuality. Well, anyway, this was from the ceremony last night from the Grammys, clip number 7.
We are gathered here to celebrate love and harmony in every key, in every color. As I look out on this audience, I'm delighted to see the faces of 33 couples who've chosen this moment to celebrate their vows with us here in Los Angeles. And everyone watching around the world as witnesses. It is my distinct honor to now ask our participants to exchange rings to signal their commitment to one another and to a life shared together with the music of love. Will you please exchange rings? Do you each declare that you take each other as spouses? By the power vested in me by the state of California, I now pronounce you
Yep. Hey, I care for those people involved, and some of those marriages were legit in God's sight, perhaps, and some not. The reason I say perhaps is because if you're going to do it in that setting where you are now participating in the redefining of marriage, raises questions, but that's between those and God. All right, Matt, my notes say Mary Lambert, but you're saying that was Queen Latifah? Either way, that's all secondary. No, I did not watch the ceremonies. Hey, it's in your face. It's in your face, and it's not going anywhere. And again, a simple question. Are phone lines open across America and by internet around the world? If you believe in redefining marriage and say that it should be two men or two women as well as a man or a woman, why limit it to two? Excuse me. Why limit it to two? I've yet received a coherent answer to that. Ever. 866-34-TRUTH. Joseph in Suffolk County on Long Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, Joseph.
Oh, yes, thank you. Yeah, I'm listening to you right now. I appreciate you standing in the gap for us and giving us, I know it's a talk show, but this particular topic. Yes, the reason why I called was how far they got. I'm looking at the judges, and the judges are ahead of the United States upholding the law. So I'm looking at their jobs. Did they pass these bills when these came up? Because see, if I pass them, I'm going to get if I don't pass them, yeah.
Here's what I think, Joseph. What I think is happening. There is a spirit of the age. There is a mindset. You could make it totally social and say that people now think this is the new civil rights. People now look at this as we sinned against blacks in America with our slavery and segregation and racism, and now this is the identical thing, and now we have to open the doors to our friends who are gay and lesbian, etc. It's either the spirit of the age or, and get ready to, go ahead, critics, quote me, it's demonic. What's demonic? The assault on marriage and family, resulting in the radical redefinition of marriage, which opens the floodgates to polygamy, polyamory. Why? Tell me why not. Please tell me why not. And then to even adult incestuous relationships. Hey, thank you, Joseph, for the call. It is our calling on the air to be your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. By the way, this must be one of the dumbest, worst comments I've ever seen. Someone just posted this on Charisma. Don't forget that with Brown's argument that marriage is one man and one woman, you have to allow a mother and her adult son to marry. Are you actually serious, sir, in posting that? You understand when we talk about one man, one woman, we are talking about within certain boundaries that everyone has been discussing, because no one that advocated marriage being the union of one man and one woman was advocating this other trash, nor has it ever been defined as such. You actually meant that? 866-34-TRUTH. I want to bring on the phone my dear friend and colleague, Scott Volk. Hey, Scott, where are you right now?
I am in Kansas City, where it's 14 degrees above zero, trying to stay warm.
Wow. Hey, it's shirt sleeve weather. You know, nice warm shirt where I am right now. Hey, listen, buddy, I was with a friend of yours, Gordon Petty, in Spain with Revelation TV, and he did want to send his greetings to you. You both serve on Barry and Botya Siegel's board, and he mispronounced your last name. I think it was something like Voik.
That goes right along with what happened to me. But let me tell you something. It's going to be warmer than 14 degrees when we go to Israel together.
It is absolutely going to be. Hey, listen, a couple things real quick. But you are reading right now. You are currently reading Sandy Toplinsky's book, Why Still Care About Israel. We're actually making that available with a tape series of mine or audio series of mine on Why Stand With Israel for a gift of any size this week. But tell me about the book that you're reading.
Yeah, you know, I've been studying this issue pretty heavily for the last 2 or 3 years, and I shot a note to Sandy because I was so blown away by the clarity in which she writes, and she takes arguments that sometimes get buried in theology that many people don't understand, and she really boils it down to people like me who can read it and really understand what she's saying. She's got a tremendous love for Israel. And she also has a tremendous love for the surrounding Arab nation and the Palestinian people. And I've really been warmed by the book and enlightened as I've read it.
All right. Take 30 seconds to let our folks know. We are right now coming to an important point with our tour for Israel. It's going to be first come, first serve. So we're just at this special point. But take 30 seconds of letting folks know why it's going to be such an amazing tour, May 20th to 30th.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing for a number of different reasons. The first reason is that we get to spend 10 uninterrupted days with AskDrBrown.org himself, which will be wonderful as we travel to the different places in Israel that we read about in the Bible. It's going to be wonderful to have you be our tour leader. We'll have a tour guide there, but you'll be able to share your heart and give from a Hebraic perspective what each of these places are. We'll go to all of the places.
All right, hang on. Stay right there. We'll finish the other side of the break. And, friends, we'll be doing live radio from Israel and connecting with local believers, both Jewish and Arab, in the land. Go to AskDrBrown.org. Sign up today. Time is limited for the Israel tour. My bottom line today, it is not hysteria. It is simple truth. You redefine marriage, you make it meaningless. From the celebration of same-sex marriage at the Grammy Awards to Holocaust Memorial Day, we've got things covered right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we have a lot to cover. We've had a very busy first hour and so much to get into in this hour. 866-34-TRUTH got in from Spain last night about, I'm sorry, I just was reading messages here from our wonderful team. Got in from Spain last night, about 23 hours after I left my hotel. I think if there was a direct flight from where I was back to my home city, it would have been maybe 8 hours, 8-9 hours of travel. But anyway, great time in Spain with my friend and colleague, Dr. James White, as we recorded debates on the gift of healing for today and the extent of the atonement. For whom did Jesus die? We have the healing debates already on our YouTube channel, so you can go there by going to AskDrBrown.org, just clicking on the YouTube icon. And then we'll be adding the predestination ones as soon as we have them uploaded. Also, my latest article on the Grammys and the myth of marriage equality. Just go to AskDrBrown.org and click on latest article. Before we go back to the Grammys and talk about even the Disney Channel now celebrating the redefinition of marriage, it is Holocaust Remembrance Day. And in the first hour, I said, although there are people who hold to variations of replacement theology today, the idea that the church has replaced Israel, or the church is the new Israel, and God has finished with Israel as a nation, that there are those who hold to those views who are not anti-Semites. In fact, this is what has opened the door in church history to terrible acts of anti-Semitism and paved the way for the Holocaust. Without this theology in European soil, there would not have been the possibility of a Holocaust taking place as it did. My dear friend and colleague Scott Volk is calling in from Kansas City before getting on a plane to fly home. Scott, May 20th to 30th, we're joining together in Israel for what should be the tour of a lifetime and the first time ever that I'll be leading a tour group in Israel with your help the whole way. Scott, you've met with Palestinian believers, Arab Christians, who support Israel and who talk about the fact that Israel seeks to be fair. It has its problems for sure. And then you've spoken to others who speak in Israel about Israel in the harshest possible terms and make Israel into a monster. What have you found was the key to the different perspectives?
I think after interacting with both sets of people, I think the key to the differing perspectives is how they view, from my opinion, how they view God's covenantal promises. Either God's covenant with Abraham was an unconditional, unilateral covenant that lasts forever, or, as some of them would say, it was all fulfilled in Jesus, and therefore the land is not important, nor are the people as a specific people important.
Yeah, so why, in your view, is it so important for Christians to go over and experience Israel for themselves?
Well, first of all, I think it's important because what it does is it really brings the Bible to life. It's the difference between watching one of those old TVs and then watching an HD TV. You never want to go back to what it was before. And as you view the land of the Bible with your natural eyes, it brings the Bible to life. One of the most amazing experiences that I ever had on that very first visit. Another reason to go is it's a great way to support Israel. When we go to Israel, we really ask the Lord to open up the hearts of the people to understand his heart for the land and for the people. And I've been blessed to go well over a dozen times. And one of the things that I love hearing when the trip is done is God has touched my heart for the land and the people. And not just the Jewish people, Mike. It's both Jews and Arabs. It's really
wonderful. All right, friends, time is limited to sign up. The trip's in May. But right now, first come, first serve to get your tickets. Go to AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org, and click on Israel Tour. Join us. You will not be disappointed.
It's
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Again, I want to make clear, because we're going to be switching subjects, I want to make clear that there are people who hold to replacement theology, redefining of the promises to Israel, saying they no longer apply to Israel as a nation, but only to the church, or it only applies to saved Jews, therefore the modern state of Israel has no connection to prophetic fulfillment. There are those who hold to these views who are not anti-Semites. However, without question, the teaching of replacement theology, the teaching that the promises no longer apply to Israel, that there's no more national destiny for the Jewish people, these have opened the door wide. Not only are they wrong scripturally, I believe we can demonstrate that, but they have opened the door wide to the horrors of anti-Semitism, which led to the horrors of the Holocaust that we speak of on Holocaust Remembrance Day. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, changing gears completely now. If you saw the Grammys last night, maybe you didn't know it was coming. Maybe you were shocked to see the celebration of men marrying men and women marrying women joined together with other couples. And according to Ryan Lewis, the producer of Macklemore, and therefore joined in the song Same Love, which became last year's gay marriage anthem, he said, the weddings will be in our minds the ultimate statement of equality, that all the couples are entitled to the exact same thing. Oh, why only speak of couples? Is that equality if you only speak of couples? Ryan T. Anderson of the Heritage Foundation has noted that a recently coined term is thruple. Yeah, a three-way relationship. Polyamorous call it a triad. Why not marriage equality for thruples? Why not just couples? And if thruples, then you know, you figure out what comes next. When I was on an interview a week or two ago with David Pakman, he said that we now have 39% of Americans living in states with full marriage equality. I said, well, how is it full marriage equality when it's only for two people? What about the hundreds of thousands or perhaps millions who want to marry in other arrangements, be it polygamy, polyamory, or the like? January 15th, CNN published an opinion column by Janet Hardy entitled Why Plural Marriages Make Sense. This is a CNN opinion column. It is so ludicrous to see people responding to my article on the Grammys of the Myth of Marriage Equality, which you can read by going to AskDrBrown.org and clicking on latest article. It is remarkable with everything happening in society that's happening, and with articles like this one from Janet Hardy being printed, and with so many others clamoring for the redefinition of marriage, it is remarkable, totally remarkable, that people still say, well, that's just all the slippery slope hysteria. There's nothing to it. Oh, really? By the way, I wasn't familiar with Janet Hardy, but on the bio on CNN, it says she's a writer, editor, and consultant, has published 11 books, including the best-selling, I didn't know, best-selling book, The Ethical Slut, A Practical Guide to Polyamory, Open Relationships, and Other Adventures. She's taught workshops about alternative sexualities and relationships all over the world. That's true. I missed the book. I did not read it, or I had not heard about it, even though it was best-selling. I missed the book, The Ethical Slut. And sorry even to read that description without warning you first. It was coming if you've got little ones around. They said, what was that? Just pass it by. 866-34-TRUTH. But you can't avoid it. You're watching TV. Let's go to clip number one, Joey. You're watching TV with your kids. You're watching Good Luck Charlie on the Disney Channel. People have been tweeting me about this, sending messages on Facebook, and suddenly there's a celebration of a same-sex couple on the Disney Channel. Clip number one.
Who's coming over?
Taylor. I invited her parents, too. I met the mom, Susan. She's really nice.
Oh, I met her. I thought her name was Cheryl.
No, it's Susan.
Are you sure?
Hi, Susan.
Hi. Amy, this is Taylor's other mom, Cheryl.
Oh, hi. This is my husband, Bob.
Hey, nice to meet you. Come on in.
Taylor has two moms.
Nothing gets past you, Bob.
Hey, Laugh about it. Wake up to reality. That's where society's going. Disney Channel. Do we have to say we told you about it in advance? 866-34-TRUTH to the phones. Regine in Queens, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. I just want to make a comment about all this gay rights and gay marriage. What I think is really happening is Christian, like Bible-believing Christians, are the ones really, in my opinion, who are being discriminated against. It's like taboo to say you still believe what God says. And so the hate that they say that Christians are giving towards them really is hate towards the Christian who still believes the Bible. I feel like we should all love people, but we don't have to be forced to believe what they're saying if it goes against God. And that's what I feel is really going on, is that you're not allowed to believe what God says. This is what I see all around. I've even heard that if you say something against a gay person, you can go to jail.
Yeah,
I don't think that's right.
Yeah, in point of fact, you're not going to go to jail if you simply... Look, I'm not going to jail right now saying the things I'm saying on the air. And you could stand up on a street corner in America and you could preach from the Bible and quote passages about homosexuality and other sins, homosexual practice and other sins. And at this point, you're not going to be thrown in jail for it. However, without question, if on your job... You might be working a job and preach on the street corner and be fired from your job because they would say, we don't stand for those things. That's bigoted or that's against what our state believes. There's no question that gay activism is the principal threat to freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of conscience in America, that we are equated with Nazis and Ku Klux Klan and others. But you raise a very, very important point. Yes, it's true that the church at times has been hateful in its attitude towards those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender. I've apologized for that in numerous settings from the heart. It is true that there is sometimes gay bashing or that homosexuals are made to feel as if they are the worst of all people on the planet. At the same time, I believe, Regine, you've hit the nail on the head, that this is ultimately a battle against the standards of God and the Word of God and the truth of God. And you have a tiny minority of those who are on the front lines of wanting to redefine marriage who would say we are gay Christians. They would claim to be followers of Jesus and practicing homosexuals at the same time, which, of course, Scripture makes clear is impossible. But for the vast majority, the big issue is clearly what does God say? And ultimately, even for those who identify as gay Christians, that's their battle. What does God say? And it goes back to the Garden of Eden and the challenge from the snake himself to Adam and Eve. Did God really say this? Oh, yeah. And can you really take it literally? And are you sure it means what it says? And are you sure there aren't ulterior motives with it? So the solution to this is for believers to live for God and to practice what we preach and to model in our personal lives and our families what it means to be followers of Jesus. Hey, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. As they would say in Australia, spot on. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Blaine in Brooklyn, New York. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, I wanted to ask you a question about, a homosexual be a deacon in a church?
Do you mean someone who is engaging in homosexual relationships? In other words, they're with someone else of the same sex, either romantically or sexually? Or do you mean someone who says, I'm attracted to the same sex, but I don't act on it, I know it's sinful?
Right. Now, that would make it two different things. So this person walks and talks, acts blunt, like they're still... this is okay, and it's a deacon. So I'm wondering, is that correct?
Oh, no. God forbid. According to the standards of 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, deacons have to be God-fearing people with a good moral track record, and it's impossible to be flaunting or promoting or engaging in homosexual practice and to be moral according to God's word or to be in harmony with him. He may be a nice person in many ways, and he may agree with morality in other ways, but that's an outrage. What kind of church is it, Blaine?
Just a regular Christian church.
Yeah, well, if it is as you say, they have 100% departed from biblical truth in this regard. And I tell you what, stay there. Stay right there. I want to send you a free book called The Gay Gospel. I believe we have some in stock. I want to send it to you as a free gift by my friend Joe Dallas. And I would like you to look at it and then present it to the pastor of the church. All right? We'll be right back. That's the world we're living in, friends.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, in case you missed it, first same-sex couple introduced on Disney Channel sitcom. The character in the sitcom Good Luck Charlie was revealed to have two mothers. The story appears in one of the final episodes of Good Luck Charlie, in which toddler Charlie's parents discover her new friend has two mothers. The episode was aired despite opposition from fundamentalist Christian group 1 Million Moms, who urged their supporters to request that Disney remove the scene. Yeah, I talked about this some time ago. Others have. People were watching it and were shocked. Hey, we told you it was coming. 866-34-TRUTH. A post on their website, 1 Million Moms, said just because something may be legal or because some are choosing a lifestyle doesn't make it morally correct. Disney should stick to entertaining instead of pushing an agenda. Conservative families need to urge Disney to exclude confusing topics that children are far too young to comprehend. And this story was, yeah, it was first announced months ago, last July, according to this. If you want to contact 1 Million Moms, what's the website? All right, just we'll get it for you in a second. Yeah, just get us that info, Matt. I've got some wild quotes that I want to play for you in a bit, get your feedback on, from Franz Duval, who says that you can have morality without religion. 1millionmoms.com, of course. 1millionmoms.com, just go there. 866-34-TRUTH. But friends, from the Grammys to the Disney Channel to you name it, this is being promoted, celebrated throughout our nation, namely the redefining of marriage. And once you redefine it to the union of any two people, you have no rational reason for saying it can't be three or four or more among other possible arrangements. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Jennifer in... We lost Jennifer. Let's go to Michael in Queens, New York. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. God bless you for all you do to promote righteousness in America. I was sickened by what I saw about what happened last night at the Grammys. Katy Perry did a satanic act. She did a little satanic skit. And what happened with all these homosexuals getting married at the Grammys, I think America's becoming the new Sodom and Gomorrah. America's becoming the new Sodom and Gomorrah, and there's going to be a persecution of traditional Christians and Jews if people don't watch out and speak up and fight back.
Yeah, you know, Michael, David Limbaugh, in his book Persecution, that's Rush's brother David, who's an attorney, he wrote his book Persecution, and he had a section dealing with the persecution coming to Christians because of gay activism. Now, it's not persecution like has happened in other countries. I honestly don't know any gay activists that literally want to kill me or literally want to throw me in prison and torture me. I don't know any. I'm sure you have crazies, but you've got crazies who identify as Christians. You've got crazies all over the place. But as far as an attack on our freedom of speech, religion, and conscience, it's already here. It's already here. In that sense, there really is persecution coming against God's people. It is taking place, and it is simply for standing for what is right. I document it in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. We've documented many articles since. If you don't get my articles on a regular basis, make sure you go to my website and sign up for our email blast, askdrbrown.org. Just click on the email icon or follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and you'll know about that as well. Michael, thank you for the call. We need to stand up for righteousness. We need to stand up for righteousness. Let's go to Jaleesa in Denton, Texas. Thanks for calling.
I actually want to make a comment. I am an ex-lesbian. I was struggling with the gay Christian thing, and I am just really surprised at everything. I hear a lot about gay Christians and how, you know, God is supposed to love, but I do not believe that if you truly have the Holy Spirit, you cannot feel conviction. And society has a way of really desensitizing things and making you not sensitive to what's going on, and it causes a lot of confusion. It just really saddens me that, you know, this is happening, and I'm getting more persecution now as a Christian, you know, a heterosexual, than I was when I was a lesbian.
Really? Now, yes. Jaleesa, you say that you struggled and you tried the gay Christian thing, but the conviction of the Holy Spirit made that impossible to go on with, and I thank God for that testimony. Would you say that it's a fundamental error when people identify their whole lives based on their sexual and romantic attractions? In other words, by saying, I am a lesbian, and therefore that's how I'm now going to view everything, versus I'm a woman who struggles with same-sex attraction, but I don't identify myself based on that. Do you think that's kind of the root of the problem?
Absolutely. I absolutely would say that it has something to do with an identity struggle. I find that a lot of lesbians and homosexuals have a lot of same stories where either something has happened to them in their past or they just have an identity problem. And it really, once you find your identity in Christ, I believe that's the root issue.
Yeah, it is. And how long have you experienced change in your own life?
How long have I experienced change? What do you mean by that?
Well, how long have you found your identity in Jesus and you've come out of living in any way in a lesbian lifestyle?
This is actually recently. I struggled all through high school. I went to college. And of course, when you get outside of your parents' niche, in which they're both Christians, I found it easier to identify with other people who were feeling the same way I did. My mom sat me down and she said, you know, I love you, but you need to recognize this as a sin. And I had always felt discomfort. It was never a comfortable situation for me.
Yeah.
And I recognized it as a sin. It was easier for me to identify with other people who were having identity problems, you know, mm-hmm. And had it not been for my mom's love, and her true Christianity, saying, I love you as a person, and God loves us as a person as well. Just the sin is something that people have to accept. And I would make excuses and say, you know, I'm gay. That doesn't mean God is going to send me to hell. You know, it's one sin. And you try to equate it to the rest of the sin.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, the identity issues are right in the middle. Hey, Jaleesa, I've got to run. Stay right there. I want to send you a DVD series that I did called Can You Be Gay and Christian? I think you'll find it really edifying and helpful. You may want to share it with your friends, too. So it's a complete DVD series I did a few years ago, Can You Be Gay and Christian? I want to send it to you as a gift. And please listen to the Wednesday show if you're able. You'll be blessed and encouraged by it. Thank you for calling. May the Lord's strength be yours. Wow. Wednesday, don't miss the show, friends. Don't miss it. So, Dwight, make sure you get Jaleesa's info there so we can send that out. Wednesday's show is going to be really edifying and eye-opening on many of these key subjects on a personal level. And as it's Holocaust Remembrance Day, I want to sow into you a really important book, an amazing book, Why Still Care About Israel. The book plus my audio messages on Stand With Israel, over 10 hours of teaching. Yours for your gift of any size, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the line of fire today, 866-34-TRUTH. So, yes, it's not just the Disney Channel introducing now same-sex couples into the children's show, Good Luck Charlie. It is also the Grammys featuring Mass Wedding during Macklemore and Madonna singing Same Love, including two men, two women, same-sex couples. Of course, these things are unfolding. Why should there be any surprise? And basically, you're being told if you don't hold to this, you are a bigot and your side's going to lose anyway. So just accept it. We need awakening. We need awakening. We've been saying it for a long time. Do you believe me now? And don't say, well, this proves it's all coming down. We're going to be out of here any moment. Jesus is coming back any second. Hey, I heard that when I got saved in 71. I heard that after the counterculture revolution of the 60s. I heard that these were the signs of the end times. Look, there have been societies that have had complete moral decline since Jesus came to earth and rose from the dead and returned to heaven. There have been complete societies that have collapsed that don't exist anymore, nations that once existed that don't exist anymore, and Jesus still didn't come back. Yeah, here's some news from the UK. First English and Welsh same-sex marriages will happen and be recognized sooner than thought. You know, I was speaking to folks from England who have been involved in these issues when I was in Spain recording TV debates with my friend and colleague, Dr. James White, on the subject of predestination, or specifically, for whom did Messiah die, and then the gift of healing, divine healing for today. These folks from England were telling me that gay activists weren't even hopeful for seeing marriage redefined in UK as quickly as it was. It came from David Cameron. And one person was telling me they were talking to an elected official, and someone on the other side had gotten in their campaign, and the moment they were in, saying, now I'm going to push for redefining marriage, for same-sex marriage, they hadn't even campaigned for it. Now, boom, here it comes. If you want to just marginalize faith in God and the standards of the scriptures and throw this all out and say it doesn't matter, where does it lead? Let's go to clip number 9. Listen to what Franz Duval has to say on Morality Without Religion. This is a YouTube channel, Big Think. We've got a few clips to play, but let's play the first one now.
My view is that morality, our human morality, is older than religion. So instead of saying morality comes from God or religion gave us morality, and I cannot imagine that, for example, 100,000 years or 200,000 years, our ancestors did not have some type of morality. Of course, they had rules about how you should behave, what is fair, what is unfair, caring for others. All of these tendencies were in place already, so they had a moral system. And then at some point we developed these present-day religions, which I think were sort of tacked onto the morality that we had.
All right, so Franz Duval has written a book called The Bonobo and the Atheist, In Search of Humanism Among the Primates. He argues that human morality is older than religion and indeed an innate quality. In other words, religion did not give us morality. Religion built onto a pre-existing moral system that governed how our species behaved. So question for you. If you throw out God and you throw out the truth of the scriptures, so true religion, can you have a moral society? If you throw out God and the truths of the scriptures, can you have a moral society? 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back.
Fire we want, for fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. Delighted to be with you today. Let's just listen to a couple more quotes from Franz Duval, who argues that religion was something that was tacked on to human morality, that we had morality developed among us as a species, and then religion got tacked on to that, as opposed to what Scripture says, that we have departed from God, who then gave us over into idolatry, into immorality, into perversion, into all kinds of wickedness and sin, as laid out in Romans chapter 1. Clip number 10.
I'm struggling with whether we need religion. So personally, I think we can be moral without religion, because we probably had morality long before the current religions came along. So I think we can be moral without religion. But in large-scale societies where we are not all keeping an eye on each other, because we don't, in societies with 1,000 people or several thousand or millions of people, we cannot all keep an eye on each other. And that's maybe why we installed religions in these large-scale societies, where a god kept watch over everybody. And then the question becomes, is this really needed?
Of course. From every historical record we have, from the earliest communications of human beings that we can read and understand outside of Scripture, it seems that human beings were somehow religious, that they were worshiping a deity or deities, and that they recognized there was more than just themselves. So even from a purely historical, phenomenological viewpoint, even going based on evolutionary theories that would be outside of Scripture or contrary to Scripture, his views make no sense. And even the virtues of love your neighbor as yourself go against the survival of the fittest. A true biblical altruism goes against the survival of the fittest. And therefore, this whole idea that morality had evolved among the species and religion got tacked on, it's interesting that the, quote, religion that got tacked on often contradicted the morality of survival of the fittest. In fact, that's what you end up with when you cut God out of the picture. It's not a matter of everyone policing each other. It's a matter of divine values being instilled in human beings. Otherwise, why are certain things right and certain things wrong if survival of the species, survival of the fittest, is the bottom line? A clip number 11, last clip.
Now, in Northern Europe, I'm from the Netherlands, there is basically an experiment going on. In Northern Europe, the majority of people are not religious anymore. When you ask them, they say they're non-believers. And they still have a moral society, as far as I can tell. And so there is a sort of experiment going on there. Can we set up a society where religion is not dominant, at least? It may be present, but it's not dominant anymore. That is still a moral society. And until now, I think that experiment is going pretty well. And so I'm optimistic that religion is not strictly needed. But I cannot be 100% sure, because we've never really tried. There is no human society where religion is totally absent, so we will really have never tried this experiment.
Whoa. What an admission. Let's see where the experiment goes. Hey, we haven't seen what happens when you mix this. It looks like poison with something else, but so far people drinking it haven't died. Or at least not a lot of them. You say, well, we've seen what religion's done. No, we've seen what perversion of religion's done. We've seen what perversion of biblical truth has done. We have seen what happens when individuals have an encounter with God and are turned around. Here, I was shooting heroin. I was breaking into people's houses. I was leading a decadent, wicked life, and Jesus transformed me. You say, well, now you're an anti-gay bigot. Okay, we'll put those critical voices aside. He has transformed me, and we've been able to touch many lives in a positive way, all to his glory. We see what happens when people encounter God. You cut him out and you make way for things like the horrific purge and suffering under Mao, the horrific suffering under Stalin, the suffering under Hitler, who ultimately made his own religion. in a regime like North Korea, to what authority can you appeal in North Korea other than the leader? 866-34-TRUTH. Mike in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for having me. I'm trying to answer your question. Can we have a moral society without religion? I do know some people who are atheists or non-religious, and I do consider them to be pretty moral people. So I think on the surface, you know, can people go without murdering people and doing this, you know, just by saying, okay, you're not supposed to do these things? Maybe. But I think in the end, without God, I think God is going to judge that society. And, you know, the Bible says, it says only a fool says that there is no God. And I don't really think it could happen. I mean, it's probably about a 12-hour discussion that we don't have time for, but that's just my two cents. So
yeah, your two cents reinforced what could be said in 12 hours. Of course, you can have individual people who have moral values. Why? Because God's put them in our heart. That's why you can have someone who mocks the concept of God and still says adultery is wrong, or still says murder is wrong, or still says stealing is wrong. But ultimately, when you cut out the notion of a God, a ruler creator to whom we will one day give account, and the values that that God lays out, once you cut that out, you ultimately open the door to moral, spiritual chaos, societal chaos. 866-34-TRUTH. James in Raleigh, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, how are you? Well, you know, the more I listen to the your excerpt, the more I think that the man speaking kind of went off on a tangent of I don't know where it came from, but when I initially heard, I thought, yes, morals, a society can be moral, because moral and ethics are two different things. Moral is man-made. Man can set his morals, but God sets the standards, and those are our ethics. And our ethics draw a line, and our morals kind of draw a circle. So man can just basically say, well, this is moral, and you know, get two or three together, and this is the moralistic, this is what we're going to live by. But God says, hey, no, you can't live by your morals. You have to live by my ethics. And that's what I wanted to put out there. And I thought that's where the guy was going, but then towards the end, he began to, you know, get this thing about, you know, without God, I really stopped following what he was saying.
Yeah, well, his whole point and the point of a book that he wrote was that you can find this among primates, you know, monkeys and different things like that. And then the same with the human species. So as we developed our own morality, and then over a period of millennia or hundreds of thousands of years, whatever, then we tacked on religion to the morality we developed. I mean, on every level, it's an absurd theory. But that was his point. And you're right. God draws a line. There are ultimately absolutes that say why certain things are right and wrong, and that even make a way for sacrificial love that is of no benefit to me, but is simply an expression of God's heart for someone hurting, dying. Without that, there are no lines. They evaporate. They disappear. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Daniel in Fort Worth, Texas. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Am I on?
Yes, you are on the air.
Oh, hi, Dr. Brown. Well, I was waiting for to make a comment on the whole gay, lesbian rights and such like that. But then I heard something from this other guy who is an atheist. And I'm 25 years old. I was an atheist up until 2 years ago. I'm coming up on my second year in Christ. And I had morals. But I'll say that my morals don't even come close to what Christianity has shown me, and the love and the compassion to have for one another. And in due to that, I would like to go back to the whole part on lesbians and gays. You know, it does speak of it in Revelations. It does speak of an abomination. And I have a heart for people who are lesbian and gay, because when I was an atheist, a lot of my friends were either bi, lesbian, or gay. And that whole identity finding that the young lady from Denton, I can relate to her as well, because there was one point where a lot of my friends who were partaking in these things would kind of put me into the thing where, like, I was kind of lost and confused, and they were saying, you're probably bi, which I started thinking about. You know, I started looking into that. I opened up that door, and I started walking that way, and it started to consume me at one point. But I would just like to say, how do we reach out to these gay and lesbian couples who you have a heart for them because they're showing up in churches? They're starting to show up in churches. Yeah. And I'm not talking about the churches that are, like, using the Queen James Bible. I don't know if you've heard of that Bible or not.
No, but more biblically-based churches. Right, Daniel, stay right there. I want to keep talking with you. We'll answer your question big time on Wednesday. Our whole focus on Wednesday is going to answer the question you just asked about reaching out with compassion to those who identify as LGBT. I want to come back to you, Daniel, as a former atheist. Stay right there.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. Well, we've covered things from Holocaust Remembrance Day to the celebration of redefining marriage on Grammy Awards last night and Disney Channel and the Good Luck Charlie show. I just played some quotes from an author, Franz Duval, who was arguing that, hey, we've got to go along with this experiment and see what happens as we cut religion out of our lives and societies to see if we can stay moral. It's an experiment. Let's see where it goes. And Daniel from Fort Worth, Texas, had called in to say that he'd been an atheist and had certain morals and a couple of years ago came to faith in Jesus. David, a couple of quick questions for you. Number one, when you say you had morals as an atheist, but they were way different than biblical morals, did you find that your morals could be adjusted situationally, or your morals could be adjusted based on once you got used to something that used to be wrong, now it was easy to justify it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There was times where, like, for instance, I wasn't sure how I would feel about having a friend who was gay because, you know, I had been brought up in a Christian household, and I had gone to church since I was little, but I didn't accept Christ on my own. So I had heard things, but I wasn't a Christ follower. I thought it was, you know, how they depicted in children's stories, the guy with the white beard sitting on a cloud. You know, I didn't believe in that. This is ridiculous. You know, absolutely crazy. My morals would definitely bend. Like, I had friends that were Islamic and friends that were Buddhist, Wiccan, you know, and it didn't bother me what their beliefs were, but as long as their morals, and you meet people that are genuinely good people in this world, you meet them, and your morals bend to twist favoritism toward your friends or for people that you become close with. Oh, well, they did it this time, and that's immoral in my eyes, but I really like them as a person. So maybe there's a reason for why they did that. Maybe there's a reason, and then you get all analytical about it.
Yes, yeah, so the absolute, right, the absolutes absolutely disappear at a certain point because it is situational and relational and experiential, and ultimately we can justify almost anything. That's why the Bible says every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. And I know you could probably talk to him about this for hours, but because we're short on time and I want to get to some other calls, the very short version, what was the single biggest thing that brought you into a living relationship with God?
It was just pretty much my testimony. When I came to Christ, things, for the most part, as an atheist, in my point of view of how I live my life, it was analytical logic. You know, that's the only way. Everything can be explained. There's a reason for everything. But then the unexplainable happened, and, you know, I go to a non-denominational Christian church now, and I've gotten really plugged in, and I just saw the love of God in this church, a feeling of love and acceptance like no other before. And I've brought some of my family to this church that are kind of straggling, like extended family, and they see it too. But the most important thing that brought me to Christ was when God showed up on his own. I was talking to my friends at a Super Bowl party few years back, and we just started talking about the Bible, and I was trying to be a smart aleck and trying to contradict everything they were saying because that's what I wanted to do. And we went into this room, and Dr. Brown, when we went into the room, time didn't exist anymore. We felt, the three of us felt like we were in the room for hours on end. We came out, and only an hour and a half had passed, but what I experienced in that room, what had happened, and I'm not talking about sensationalist movement, I'm not talking about, you know, there was any type of forced feeling at all. The whole testimony takes 20 minutes, but to sum it up, there was an appearance, a vision that I saw, something that I saw, and it had me thinking so badly that I thought somebody had, like, put something in my tea. Like, I thought I had been drugged. You know, but then I realized it wasn't a scary feeling, and I explained it to my friends, and they just smiled because they understood what was going on. And I
right,
had
so,
never
so God,
been...
yeah, God actually broke through in your life. Hey, Daniel, I'd love to hear more. Feel free to shoot us an email, and I'm sorry to jump in right there, but shoot us an email at info@askdrbrown.org, and please listen Wednesday when we really will talk about these issues of reaching out with compassion to those who identify as bisexual, gay, lesbian, transgender. But a big, big thing you're saying is that God himself made himself real to you. Bottom line, God made himself real to Daniel. And friends, as you pray, whether you're praying for a friend, loved one, a prodigal in your family, pray in faith that God will make himself real and convict them of sin and show them Jesus is the only Savior. Hey, thank you for calling in, Daniel. 866-34-TRUTH. John in Rising Sun, Maryland. Great sounding sitting in there. We're a little short on time, but please dive right in.
Okay. Basically, what my point was is I wonder if he would have the same opinion if he wasn't brought up in the Netherlands, you know, because that tends to sway your perception of a lot of things. If he wasn't brought up in the Netherlands, if he was brought up in Africa and was a member of the Hutu tribe or one of those tribes down there that have been killing each other, you know, by the thousands and hundreds of thousands, or if he was maybe a Chinese girl who was in an orphanage who the parents didn't want, and they were over there by the thousands and the hundreds of thousands, or even if he was in the city in the United States, if he was in Detroit in the failing city. You don't have to look too far to see where the lack of God has a negative influence.
Yeah.
Where the Netherlands is more the exception than the rule.
Yeah, well, actually, the Netherlands is going in a increasingly dangerous direction. In other words, even if you just look at the subject of marriage in the Scandinavian countries, it is becoming less and less meaningful on any level, more and more couples just living together out of wedlock, more and more babies born out of wedlock, and ultimately these things have a deleterious effect on society, without doubt, if you follow it and watch where it goes. The thing you mentioned about Rwanda is tragic because Christianity had come there. Among the tribes there that were killing each other, I read a terribly painful book about it. What happened was there was really inadequate discipleship. There was inadequate discipleship, and people had a form of the faith, but we weren't really living it out, walking with the Lord, because of which these horrors happened. It's a wake-up call. It's not just a matter of receiving Christ, but becoming disciples. John, thanks for the call. David in Baltimore, I wish I had time to talk. You've got a contrary opinion, but please call in another day, all right, so we can discuss these things. Others, I'm sorry, I didn't get to your calls. Friends, this underscores to me the positive hope that we have. The darker things get, the more God's light is going to shine. So let's go for it boldly. Make sure you take advantage of a very special offer this week, a tremendous book, Why Still Care About Israel, by my friend Sandy Toplinski, and 10 hours of audio teaching on the subject for me, about $40 value, yours for your gift of any size. So call, stand with us, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, the harvest has never been riper in our lifetimes than it is now. Let's go for it and reap.